True.
You are listening to Truth Revolution Radio. We're broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. My name is Cosmos. I'm your host for the next 2 hours, and this is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. Do you want peace? Do you want to stop blowing people up in other countries? Do you want to put an end to the global war on terror, this fraudulent global war on terror, then you're going to have to get real about 9/11.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something right now. You'll never see the end of this global war on terror. Unless we get out the truth about 9/11. And this isn't about Bush. This isn't about that lame duck, tyrannical Bush administration. Last time I checked, the three selected top runners in this presidential campaign were all complicit in the cover-up of 9/11. And the last time I checked, all three of those jackasses have every intention on continuing this fraudulent global war on terrorism, which, as we all know, isn't just about blowing up people in other countries. It's sure the hell about that. It's sure the hell about mass murder, but we all know it's about a lot more, too. It's about making billions of dollars on blowing up people in other countries. It's about restricting our freedoms, destroying our civil liberties, tagging and tracking all of us like cattle. And making a lot of money. And the last time I checked, all three of these clowns have every intention of continuing with this fraudulent global war on terror. So 9/11 truth is not just about the Bush administration. And we are not going away. We're not going away anytime before, during, or after this election coming up in November. We're not going away anytime until we get justice for the crimes of 9/11, the crime of the century that never had a criminal investigation. If you want peace, if you want to see an end to this global war on terror, then you're going to have to get real about 9/11, and you're going to have to help out spreading the word about 9/11. And 9/11 truth activists are the most beautiful people in the world, the most dedicated, inspirational, creative, relentless, caring people that I've ever come across. What we're facing is so ridiculously challenging. And those of you out there who are 9/11 activists know exactly what I mean. This is the most censored topic ever. Certainly the most censored topic any time in recent history. Censored on the right. Censored on the left. Censored in the so-called mainstream. No, we can't have a civil, logical conversation about the issues. We have to resort to ridicule. We have to lie. We have to deflect. Well, that's what they have to do now because we forced the issue. We forced it into the dialogue. It's out of the bag. The cat is out of the bag and it's walking around. And you know, the thing is, when you've got truth on your side, it really helps. We're fighting for justice here. And it's a noble thing to do. And we've got all the power of that, of the truth, on our side. So no matter how uphill this seems, no matter how challenging this is, those of us who have dedicated to this know in our hearts, in our gut, that we're going to do it, that we're going to get this out, that we're going to get justice for the families of 9/11, for the first responders of 9/11, for all the people who were blown up on that day, and all the people around the world who have been blown up, murdered, in the name of those others who were murdered. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. At TruthAction.org, we promote international activism for 9/11 truth. We started a campaign, an ongoing campaign of united action taking place on the 11th day of every month with a commitment to not stop until we get justice. We started just a little over a year ago on February 11th, 2007, in three locations in the United States, and we've spread around the world month by month. We keep growing. This is something that has become a tradition, I guess you could call it, in the truth movement, something that took hold in the consciousness. We're reclaiming the 11th day of every month. And if you want to see what that looks like, you can go to truthaction.org and see the international reports from each 11th. And we encourage people to take action every day in every way for 9/11 truth. The most basic thing you can do is just speak up. Talk about it. Don't be quiet about what you know. Because if you know what's going on, you know how important it is. And if you take a look at what people all around the world are doing to get the word out, you'll find inspiration in their actions to do what you can. Because we've got a momentum here. You know, this is so incredibly challenging. We're up against this monolithic death machine. We're taking it on, and we're going to take it down. And if you look and see what activists all around the world are doing, you can find the inspiration to do what you need to do. And if it's just as simple as talking to your friends, your family, your coworkers, people you meet randomly, bring up the subject, share what you know, steer the conversation in a direction that's going to get to some truth. We're all living in this. We're all victims of this. Well, we're all potential victims of us. Some of us refuse to be victims. But if you don't do anything about this, if you know what's going on and you don't even talk about it, you're a victim. And that's not a pretty place to be. We need everyone who knows what's going on speaking up about it. We've made so much progress in smashing the social taboo. Oh, you can talk about anything. Politically incorrect. You can't talk about anything except 9/11. Oh, yeah, the Bush administration, they lie about everything except 9/11. That was the sacred event. The foundational myth of the global war on terror is a sacred event. No one in authority, no one in a position of power ever lied about that. Well, now we know, and it's been documented repeatedly, so many of the lies are documented. I mean, it's current news. Zelico, obviously, in cahoots, not just with Condi, but with Karl Rove. Direct line to Karl Rove's office. Oh, don't keep any records of these calls. The family members who had to fight for over a year to get that 9/11 commission started. They were fighting for an investigation. What they got was the 9/11 commission, which wasn't an investigation. As Commissioner Benveniste said, it was an exposition, a show. But those family members who fought for an investigation, they wanted to get Zelico out of there. They wanted him to resign because of his obvious conflicts of interest. And he refused to do so. And, of course, his bosses in the Bush administration backed him up. And now, lo and behold, that's right. The conflicts of interest were that bad. He's having his secretary destroy any records of his communications with Karl Rove over there in the White House. Karl Rove, who was recently unwelcomed so heartily in Vancouver, Canada. So glad to see him unwelcomed like that. The most censored topic ever. Uncensor it. Uncensor it in your life. If you're not going to join us out on the streets, and you should join us, I want you to join us. Join us. Look, we've got an 11th every month, a perfect opportunity for you to join us. You know, go to truthaction.org. You can find action networks that are all over the world. If you don't see an action network to take action with on the 11th. Start your own. So many groups now have been started by one person, at the initiative of one person going out alone and getting visible for 9/11 Truth. What does that mean? It means you make copies of flyers. You make copies of DVDs. You go out and you talk to people in your community. It's a beautiful thing to do. If you want to see what I'm talking about, go to truthaction.org. It's all documented there, photographs, videos. If you're not going to do that, if you're not going to join us on that level, if you're not ready for that, at least start speaking up. At least start talking about it. And make those DVDs and flyers and just give them out to the people you meet. Carry some with you in your backpack. Wherever you go. That's what we got to do. Today we're going to be talking to activists from indie media. Yes, what's indie media? Well, indie media is something that apparently a lot of 9/11 Truth activists have never even heard of, believe it or not. So if you don't know what indie media is, you'll be finding out. And we're going to be talking about what's the deal with 9/11 Truth and indie media. Got two great indie media activists coming up later in the show. We'll be right back after this break on Truth Revolution Radio. Stick with us. Revolution Radio, the official broadcast of truthaction.org. This is your show for 9/11 Truth Action. And we've got Bruno Brewiler from We Are Change LA on the line.
Hey, Cosmos.
Hey, Bruno, how's it going, man?
Good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. Hey, I heard that you're at a banner-making party.
Yeah, we're making huge banners for to wake up more people to the fact about 9/11 and by the thousands.
Beautiful.
We're doing really large 5 foot by 21 foot banners, blue banners, white text, and we'll have them for the Answer March, the anti-war march that's coming up next month. And we've got a lot of banners. We're stepping it up. It's like everything we're doing is trying to figure out how to make it bigger, because 9/11 Truth can't be status quo, and it can't go backwards. We have to get bigger, and we have to tell more people.
We got to push it. We really got to push it. We have to triple our efforts and just take the momentum that we have and push it over the top. So you're going to pack that Answer March with 9/11 Truth. That's something I recommend that everyone do that. We've got these marches going on, like, what is it, March 15th, I believe, in a lot of locations.
Yeah, and by making really large banners, and especially if you can make them so you hold them over your head and you get the numbers, then the large banners that are over your head are the ones that signify the march. When people see you coming down the street, that's what they're looking at first and foremost, is what's on the banners. And we're going to be coming in big numbers with lots of banners and lots of people. And we're going to, there's nothing that serves anti-war march better than 9/11 Truth. 9/11 Truth ends war. And we've all heard it, and it's true. It's when people figure out what's going on, then it throws all the excuses that they've had, that they've accepted, that they believe for war, throws all those excuses out the door. All of a sudden they realize it's all a big lie. And not just WMDs, but the whole thought of terrorism, you know, that there's terrorism, this war on terror, that we have this enemy that can strike us at any moment. And it's true, we do have that enemy. We do have that enemy, but it's not the enemy that we're being told it is. It's the perpetrators are a lot more powerful, and they're infiltrated in our own great country here, and we have to wake people up to the truth.
Yeah, we definitely have a terrorist problem.
Yes.
Unfortunately, these terrorists are in positions of power in our government.
Yeah,
like I was saying, there's no way in hell you're going to see an end to this fraudulent global war on terror without the truth about 9/11 being exposed. So if you're going to an anti-war march on March 15th, take your 9/11 truth signs, take your flyers, take your DVDs, make huge signs like Bruno and We Are Change LA are doing right now, making huge banners. Get it visible. You know, if these people really want peace, if they really want an end to the war, then they need to get down with 9/11 truth and stop acting like it's the one thing that the Bush administration and the rest of the government didn't lie about.
Yeah, and it's not expensive to make these banners. What Cheryl, a member of We Are Change LA, found $1, 5-foot by 7-foot banners at one of the 99-cent stores. And we bought lots of them. She sewed 3 of them together to make a long one. She's a sewing machine to do it. So it takes that little time and creativity, but we're talking about really big banners that have a huge impact. And they're very light, very easy to manage, and they're cheap, $3 plus the time to sew it. So really, I mean, it's easy to for people to, you know, we're all battling that, what we can do, what we can't do, and it's very easy to sit at home and just think about it. But it doesn't take a whole lot to drive down to your 99-cent store and or even tablecloths that you use at a picnic. That's good. And just take the time to figure out your message, simple message that gets through, and put it on the banner and paint it. And there's different ways to put it on there. And we have massive numbers of banners here. We're thinking really big. Everyone needs to think big, and that's the advantage to having an organized group. And if you have an organized group around you, I say this every time whenever I talk to you, Cosmos, or anyone else, truthaction.org or 9-11.meetup.com or We Are Change, there's groups around you that you can join. And when you have numbers, and we have lots of people here painting banners, it goes really quickly. We have strength in numbers, and we're going to get a lot of banners done, and we're having fun together. And what better satisfaction than doing something like this to wake up others to the truth of what's happening? I mean, we're having a great time just being together and doing it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Can't forget that part. Very satisfying. Hey, Bruno, real quick, like in maybe 3 minutes, can you tell me what's going on with Fox News?
Well, I went to an arraignment on Monday, and I have a couple of lawyers that I'm in talking to, and the arraignment was rescheduled for March 25th.
What happened? Tell us what happened.
Well, I was given a public defender, and I talked to him, and, you know, he's like Mr. Hotshot. Okay, yeah, and he's trying to tell me what to do. And he's basically saying that you were on private property. And I said, yeah, I know it was on private property, but I have every right to be there. I was not breaking the law.
They filed false charges against you.
Yeah, well, no, they charged me with trespassing, and that is false. Well, they first arrested me for battery, and that was I spent over 24 hours in jail for that. And I was bullhorning Fox Television, and I was standing on the sidewalk that led up to their doorway. I was about 10 feet from the main sidewalk and 10 feet from their doorway. And the law in California is any business that has a sidewalk that leads up to their doorway where they're inviting the public to come in and visit their business, that sidewalk is open to free speech. Doesn't matter if it's private property. You can be there and saying what you want. You can hand out flyers. You can do whatever you want that falls under the First Amendment. As long as you're not interfering with their business operations and not interfering with the egress of people going into and out of the business. And, of course, I wasn't doing that. And I got surrounded and harassed and got charged with battery, spent over 24 hours in jail. And the battery charges were dropped, so they changed it to trespassing. And I'm going to win that, too, because I've got to – it'll be appealed right up to the California Supreme Court. The California Supreme Court says very clearly, yes, I can do that. You know, and this is a big step for 9/11 Truth and activists in general so that they don't have this fear. They're not continually being intimidated by this private property claim that malls and businesses try to use to control us. We have a right to be there and say what we want. And I was protesting Fox, and where else am I going to do it except on right there in front of Fox?
9/11 Truth versus Fox News. And Bruno, I've heard you've got a record of kicking ass legally on, what's it, Judge Joe Brown?
I had tow truck.
You won. The long and short of it is you won.
What?
The long and short of it is you won. Fox News doesn't want to screw with you.
Yes.
Hey, Bruno, thanks for calling in. Give my love to all the beautiful people, and we are changing.
Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
All right, we're back on Truth Revolution Radio, the official broadcast of truthaction.org. And today we're doing an indie media special. We're going to be talking to two different indie media activists, both by the name of Chris. And we're going to be bringing our first guest, Chris Burnett, up real quick here. Chris is the host of Indie Media On Air on Pacifica's KPFK in Los Angeles. He's been an organizer within the Indie Media Network since its inception in Seattle during the WTO protests. He's a co-founder of IMC Los Angeles and the community radio station collective killradio.org. Chris has been involved in a number of solidarity projects with Zapatista Communities of Resistance, as well as having been a union bargaining representative for technical employees within the University of California system. Chris has a degree in chemistry and has been studying the events of 9/11 closely, specifically from a scientific perspective. He's done a number of interviews on his show with 9/11 Truth activists discussing the technical details of the event and exploring the best hypotheses that fit the data. Chris Burnett, welcome to Truth Revolution Radio.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good. So, first of all, I'd love for you to tell our listeners what indie media is and how it got started and what was your role in that?
Well, indie media got started, as say, in Seattle during the WTO protests in 1999 in November. And that was a moment in history when a lot of energy and a lot of efforts were going towards challenging trade policies like NAFTA, WTO, and their effects not only in this country but around the world. And everybody knew going into that event that the mainstream press, or I should call it the corporate press. I hate calling it the mainstream press.
Yes, the corporate media.
Yeah, establishment press is probably even just as accurate. But the corporate press were not going to tell the truth. They were not going to analyze the issues in depth. They were going to distort the messages that the people who were coming out to challenge those policies, and essentially, you know, people in the U.S. and around the world were not going to get a real story. And, of course, that comes from, you know, everybody who's ever had experience with the corporate press. And we knew that, and a lot of people knew that it was time to create our own networks, our own information distribution channel. And Indie Media was born out of that desire and using sort of the new technologies at the time, of course, the Internet, and created one of the at that time it was just Seattle, but it created this technology that allowed people to participate in storytelling. So it told the person on the street could come and participate and tell their story, and they weren't going to get spun and they weren't going to get misquoted or misdirected. So the idea was it was a participatory information system, and that's the out of which, you know, Indie Media eventually became a network, a global network of decentralized, cooperative, community-based collectives. And then the network grew to close to 150 IMCs, independent media centers worldwide. And, yeah, so that's sort of the background to it.
So now the Indie Media Network, it's like a global, autonomous, activist news network.
Yeah. You know,
but the first one started basically to report on what was going on at the World Trade Organization protests in Seattle in 1999.
Yeah. And it kind of grew from there. The next one sprouted up in Philadelphia for the Republican Convention in 2000, followed by Los Angeles for the Democratic National Convention. And then slowly, you know, a lot of movement was being made towards a sort of a what we call the anti-corporate globalization movement. And it was dedicated to challenging trade policies, challenging the assumptions of this economic system, which puts people before profit, in which the human condition, the environmental conditions do not play any role whatsoever in factoring out what is profit for the corporate system. So, yeah, it's a decentralized network, and there's a lot of work that we put into how are we going to organize ourselves on a global basis in this network and maintain sort of local autonomy, maintain its sort of decentralized characteristic, but finding ways to come together to coordinate our work. And, you know, that was a huge challenge, and we had a big gathering in San Francisco, actually, in 2001 to talk about how we would move forward, and that's a story in itself, which is very interesting. We ultimately developed what we called principles of unity and criteria for joining the network. And the reason we did that is we wanted to put some checks on the ability for who joined Indie Media Network. And the basic criteria was that you were not affiliated with any government institution, you were not affiliated with any commercial or corporate process, and that you had to have an open participatory process for people to come in off the streets and be media makers, essentially, and allow people to, you know, cover stories in their local community, you know, tell people what's going on, and allow your average person to have a voice through the technology. And and to this day, you know, the network is still there. There's still a lot of IMCs around. But, you know, being a non-funded volunteer organization, you know, there were a lot of challenges there. So while there's still a lot of IMCs around, Indie Media still exists. But in the climate after 9/11, a lot of that energy was destroyed. And I don't think accidentally. I think 9/11 had a lot of impacts that, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about, and everybody has been talking about. But one of them was just to really uproot and take the energy out from under the anti-corporate globalization movement.
Well, that's a really interesting topic that I guess we'll have to get into a bit more in the next segment. But I really wanted to talk about, I really want to encourage 9/11 Truth activists to use their local IMCs, their local indie medias, for one. And there's just a real interesting crossover, a lot of really interesting topics that we can get into, 9/11, 9/11 Truth, and Indie Media. One thing is that the anti-globalization movement sort of reached this peak at those protests in Seattle in 1999, and then 9/11 came along, and seem to wipe it out.
Really,
I think if people get on board with 9/11 Truth... Revolution Radio, broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. This is your show from 9/11 Truth Action. And today, we're talking with Chris Burnett. He's an indie media activist who's been involved in the Indie Media Network since its inception in 1999. World Trade Organization protests in Seattle. He's also the host of Indie Media On Air on Pacifica Radio's KPFK and active in the community radio station collective killradio.org. Chris, I want to back up and go back to, you know, it's really interesting. The origin of the Indie Media Network was at these World Trade Organization protests in Seattle in 1999. And it was really like the peak of this anti-corporate globalization movement. It was an incredible success in a lot of ways. And then basically 9/11 came along and really to a large degree shut that down.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. From Seattle was sort of a just to make this point real quick. Seattle was sort of a culmination of a lot of 10 years of organizing as well, and a lot of that inspiration came from the global South, so to speak, and the Zapatista movement. You know, about finding your voice and having autonomy, et cetera. A lot of messages there that were built up in Seattle, and then Seattle sort of broke into the North, North American in a way that it hadn't before, and then after that we started seeing people becoming very conscious of state power, of a critique of state power, a critique of corporate capitalism, and those movements actually blew up into Quebec, in Canada, in Italy, in Mexico. I mean, there was, you know, every other month there was in Prague, I believe. There were so many events going on, and people were really challenging this sort of this runaway state power, this runaway economic system that, you know, is now close to a collapse, if not, you know, a recession at the least. But yeah, there was a moment there where there was a lot of movement, and then 9/11 happened. And in fact, there was a big event scheduled, I believe, for the IMF. In late September of 2001.
In D.C.
Yeah, in D.C., and which was, you know, hardly attended. I mean, the whole, it was a paradigm shift. And the people who masterminded this 9/11 event, you know, perhaps they saw that this would have that kind of effect. But either way, they definitely, you know, had a major impact on the dialogue. And from that moment on, and, you know, a lot of this sort of movement had really been derailed. And for a lot of reasons, like the whole way of discussing 9/11, the whole way of discussing a critique of the state and of the economic system went to the backstage, essentially.
And the funny thing about it, the ironic thing to me, is that exploring and exposing the truth about 9/11 is really such a massive opportunity for the anti-corporate globalization movement.
I completely agree. I mean, in fact, I mean, that's something, and I know we sort of talked about this briefly, but before, you know, this is a really big issue. And I know both of us, you know, when we talk about left-right dichotomies, those terms don't mean much, right? But we put them in quotes and we sort of talk about the way that people discuss 9/11. You know, I have a real problem with what are, you know, the so-called, like, left gatekeepers and what they're talking about. You know, generally there's this sort of people like Chomsky and Michael Albert, Amy Goodman, Norman Solomon, Robert Jensen. A lot of these people refuse to talk about 9/11, or they're very derisive about it. And what they like to talk about is structural analysis of the system itself. And don't get me wrong, I think that's incredibly important. But and they immediately push 9/11 off as conspiracy theory, which we all know in the 9/11 truth movement that that's just nonsense, because the conspiracy theory is the official government story. 9/11 itself is critical to understanding the dynamics of a power system. And, you know, we can easily include this analysis of 9/11 from even just having a basic scientific analysis into that structural analysis that a lot of people like to talk about. When we look at the history of empire, I mean, I'm not just talking about the last 50 years, I'm talking about the last 500 with colonialism and empire building, et cetera. I mean, these tactics fit very neatly within an analysis of the bigger picture. And we all know the NSA just came out a month ago and with documents, or the NSA didn't, FOIA, a request finally came out where they said, yes, the Gulf of Tonkin incident was staged. It's not real. I mean, you know, it took, 40 years before they go, yeah, Gulf of Tonkin was a fraud, which got us into the Vietnam War, et cetera. Well, you know, we need to look at 9/11 just as critically, and we need to look at it from a scientific point of view. And just to make one quick point, what really bothers me about sort of this, I think a lot of people are following Chomsky on this, is that he has written a book in the 80s called Manufactured Consent, which is a great book about media analysis and corporate ownership. At the time, the mainstream journalists were attacking him, or the corporate press was attacking him for being a conspiracy theorist. And his response was, well, you know, they like to use conspiracy theory. They throw that label around to dissuade institutional analysis. How ironic is it that in the same vein, he dismisses the 9/11 truth movement as conspiracy theory? And all that, to me, I would turn that on his head and say, look, all you're doing is dissuading a scientific analysis and a structural analysis of what happened on 9/11. It is not the same event as, say, other sort of conspiracy theories that we could talk about, like, for example, the official story of 9/11. So it's incredibly frustrating, because we know we have forensic evidence, we have engineers, scientists, very credible people coming on board on 9/11 and going, look, this is obviously something wrong here, right? And I think a lot of us people listening to the show, and yourself, myself included, we know about the forensic evidence. We know about the details of fire. We know about gravity. We know about conservation of momentum. We know about Building 7. You know, to not address that is absurd. And not to fit that within a structural framework, say a structural critique of the system, is absurd. And you know, I feel like I have to, you know, be out there and say this, you know, and be out there criticizing these people. And at the same time, I should say, you know, I'm a big fan of Chomsky. I've read a lot of his stuff. And, you know, and I love the work of Z Magazine and Democracy Now! For the most part. But these people need to be challenged on this particular issue.
Indeed they do. And I want to commend you on your doing the right thing and not shying away from this issue, you know, and using the outlets and the platform that you have to give some attention to this topic. You know, we've seen a lot of censorship in the indie media networks, you know, in various, you know, to differing degrees, because, you know, each local indie media is run by the local collective, you know, and some more so than others. For instance, the New York City indie media totally censored anything having to do with 9/11 truth. I think to this day, I'm not sure, I haven't checked it any time recently, but I know for years just totally blacked it out, whereas then other local ones would have a pretty good policy on it. And it's just been like, you know, a painfully bitter you know, to watch this when knowing that you know, really addressing this topic in a realistic way is something that can cut right to the heart of empire.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to, I mean, look, does the Gulf of Tonkin incident matter? Of course it does. It, you know, do states use terrorism or do states use violence to advance their interests? Of course they do. And somehow, you know, it's very easy to see that if you're looking at the effects of U.S. foreign policy in Central and South America or in the Middle East. I think, you know, people can understand that, you know, the effects of U.S. foreign policy in these places is devastating. And do they use terrorism to advance their interests? Of course they do. Does 9/11 fit within that structural analysis? Yes, it does. And we need to look at it. And we shouldn't shy away from it. And most importantly, a lot of people who have been turned on to the truth about 9/11, or what I would say is the best hypothesis for the falling of the buildings, etc., you know, all the questions that people have, a lot of people have woken up and become active. A lot of people have woken up and become critical of power, of any centralized power system, right? We always have to be vigilant against centralized power. And 9/11 truth helps a lot of people see that in ways that maybe they hadn't before. And that's why I think it's really important that it transcends left-right dichotomies, right? It transcends those traditional barriers, and people are just people, right? We all, like, go, we have to go at one point deal with this issue and go, you know what? We may disagree on certain issues politically at times, but there's one thing we know is that we can't trust centralized power systems, and we know that those in position.
We're broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org, your show for 9/11 Truth Action. And today we're talking with activists, indie media activists. We're talking about 9/11 Truth and indie media. We've been talking with Chris Burnett, who's a longtime indie media activist. He's been involved with the Indie Media Network since its inception at the World Trade Organization protest in Seattle in 1999. He's the host of Indie Media On Air on Pacifica Radio's KFPK in Los Angeles. So, we're about to be joined by another indie media activist from the UK, another Chris. We're going to have Chris B and Chris C. I don't know what happened to Chris A, but we've got Chris B and Chris C. I really want to see 9/11 Truth activists using the Indie Media Network. We've got a global autonomous activist news network that's out there that is available to tell your story, to show what you're doing. I've been trying to encourage activists to repost the international action reports from the 11th day of every month on their local indie medias. And we've seen a few people doing that. I want to see more people doing that. I was talking a bit in the last segment about how, you know, we've seen some of the local indie medias censoring or suppressing 9/11 truth topics. But now we're at a point where the 9/11 truth movement is a global movement. It's a global justice movement. And really, there's no stopping us. We're not going away. We're growing by the day. We're up against incredible odds. The 9/11 truth movement is made up of incredibly diverse and dedicated people who are doing really incredible work. And I think if people start sharing that documentation of these actions, these street actions, these marches, these confrontations, sharing documentation of this on your local indie media, I think we'll be seeing a much, much lower resistance to the topic than we have in the past. Chris, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I just want to point out that while there has been some IMCs who's been a little hostile, let's say, to 9/11 truth, and that was many years ago, there were other ones who were very upfront and sort of leading the way on covering a lot of these questions, and that was Portland Indie Media did a great job at being one of the IMCs who really made the effort to challenge a lot of the in the official story from, like, literally from, like, months later. So they should, also be commended for that.
Indeed. Portland Indie Media really stands out.
Yeah.
IndieBay.org out of San Francisco has been really good, too. So there's been a bit of that. There's been, so like you said, some hostility, some resistance, some of the local indie media is better than others. But on the other hand, now we're at a point where, this is something I was mentioning to you earlier, I'll talk to some 9/11 truth activists about indie media, and they don't even know what it is. And I'm like, damn, you don't know what indie media is. So that was another reason why I wanted to do this show. But just for those listening, for people, activists who might want to get involved, what's the best way to start to get involved, to find their local indie media?
Well, the easiest and most the quickest way is just go to indiemedia.org, IndyMedia.org.
That's the main site.
The international site. And on the left column of that site, you'll see every IMC listed within the network. And just hopefully there's one in your city. And if there's not one in your city, you can help start one in your city or get involved in the one closest to you. But that's a good start. For people in the U.S., there's indiemedia.us, IndyMedia.us. And the same thing, you'll see the list there, and you'll see the cities listed, and hopefully there's one in your city. And if there is, write them an email, show up at a meeting, and help participate, and become part of the editorial collective. Generally speaking, every IMC has a group of people who manage a center column, and they sort of get together and they highlight what stories they think are important for the community to read about. And it'll vary for everything from local, issues, environment, police brutality issues, economic issues, 9/11. So get involved and get part of that process and go to a meeting and check it out. And, it's always generally really good groups of people who are committed to open access to information and, sort of citizen journalism.
Indeed. And you don't have to go to a meeting to post your stuff either. It's an open publishing system. It's great if you want to get involved and be a part of your local indie media. Chris, I first became aware of your work very recently. It was actually listening to the show that you did with Professor Stephen Jones and Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
That was a good interview.
Yeah, it really was.
On their part. I leave that judgment to what I did on the other side.
Yeah, I thought you did a pretty good job, too. It was a great show. I wanted to ask you a bit about just when did you, what was your experience of 9/11, and when did you first become aware that what was going on was drastically different from what we were being told?
That's something I've answered a few times, and my friend who I actually, that morning I got a call at 7 a.m. I went over to my friend's house and watched the towers collapse. And that day, I just looked at it and I go, you know, that's really weird that those towers came down that way. It doesn't make any sense to me. And, like, I didn't really go into it much after that, but it always had bothered me. And I'm kind of somewhat, you know, happy that I had some sort of skepticism on that day and, you know, and having some knowledge of, you know, past events of the use of state power to advance its interests and that of the corporate sector. I was very skeptical. But I sort of just kind of let it go away for a year, maybe even two. And I think the thing that really started to really pique my interest is when I started reading some of the scientific analysis. When I started reading Dr. Jones's paper on the forensic evidence on the presence of the microspheres, I have a background in chemistry, and it really helped me to see that presentation of data. And the minute I saw that, I was, like, blown away. And I think at some point in that period, I saw Building 7. And when I saw Building 7, that did it for me. I think there was a combination of things. Building 7 completely did it for me in convincing me that it had to be controlled demolition. The squids coming out of the buildings did it as well, just the visualization of that. And then when I saw sort of the analysis of people who are really looking closely at the science, that was it was a nail in the coffin, so to speak. Well, that's probably not a good analogy, but you know what I mean. That
nail in the coffin of the official story.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And the absurdity, the other thing is, it's like from day one, I'm like, where's the evidence? They keep saying they're going to present the evidence. Where is the evidence that Al-Qaeda had anything to do with this? And I kept waiting. I remember that experience. 3 months later, where's the evidence? There's not a shred of evidence. There's very bad video of the alleged hijackers. There's no indication they were on those planes. There's no indication that Bin Laden did this other than this very, you know, strange and confusing confession of his, if it was even him, et cetera. There's no real solid evidence. And I think I remember just recently watching some German film. You may have seen it on the net. But one of the guys in this clip, you can watch it on the internet, like, he basically says one of the things people should really do is find out the identities of these alleged hijackers. You know, challenge people to bring the evidence forward because there isn't any. And I think that was another issue. I kept saying to myself, where is the evidence? Where is it? And we never really got anything of substance.
Well, at one point we were promised a white paper by Colin Powell, and they just sort of blew that off.
Yeah.
And we never heard anything about it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you know, there's a real strange thing where it's so crazy because we have millions and millions and millions of people who are against this war. Is war even really a good word for it? This fraudulent global war on terror.
Yeah.
This death machine spreading around the world. Millions of people who are against it, and such a large percentage of those people have, you know, a good solid clue about what's up with 9/11, basically that something or a lot of things don't add up with the official story, and yet somehow those two aren't put together. And, you know, in the 9/11 truth movement, I mean, one thing that we say is 9/11 truth ends war. 9/11 truth ends the war. And it's really strange, you know, to see people, you know, say to go to an anti-war march and you talk to a lot of people, and a lot of the people that you talk to know what's up. But they don't really put two and two together, you know, and see, because like I said at the beginning of this show, there's no way in hell that we're going to see the end of this global war on terror without the truth of its foundational myth, 9/11, being exposed.
Yeah. It's such an important point. I mean, 9/11 is probably the best marketing campaign for the oil and defense contractors, the oil industry and the defense contractors. And it is a farce, and you know, it's interesting, actually, because I was just reading a really good interview on Counterpunch, one of these websites, with Lemke. His last name's Lemke. He's a sociologist, being asked about these exact questions. And one of the things he points out is that, you know, this that in relation to the anti-war movement, he's asked, well, this interview, the interviewer was asking, you know, how does the anti-war movement deal with 9/11 truth activists? And he had this really unfortunate sort of patronizing response in his question about, well, just give them something busy to do and then we'll go about dealing with the war. You know, and it's just, it's an absurd notion to not take into account the energy and the motivation of people who are trying to find the truth out about 9/11, because if anything, they are allies. They should be treated as allies, but they shouldn't be disparaged this way. And unfortunately, there's that kind of rift going on. The other issue is that, you know, ultimately what's going to end this war is relying in kind of working in solidarity with the soldiers who are fighting it, because they're the ones who are probably going to have a lot to do with ending this war. And the same way that it happened in Vietnam, I mean, it was the soldiers themselves not participating in the war near the end that, you know, freaked out the military. And I think in the same way, there's got to be solidarity with the soldiers and supporting them and their resistance to the war. But there's no question that 9/11 is the foundation for this mythological war on terror, and it's used to advance the interests of the neoconservatives. And, you know, there's a lot to talk about strategy there, you know, and I don't know what exactly is the best strategy, but I do know that 9/11 truth has to be a part of that. I think to dismiss it is just ludicrous. It needs to be a global mass movement, and it needs to be done with care and respect for the people who are coming into a position of consciousness where they're willing to challenge the official centralized power system and, you know, their agenda and their lives.
Indeed. And like you said, that kind of reaction is just, you know, it's so absurd. It literally does not make sense. It's like logic-free to dismiss this in such a way. And, of course, you know, it makes me wonder about people's motivations, their sincerity, their integrity to actually, you know, to spout stuff that is so anti-logical. But basically, and we're just up against the most ridiculous odds here. And like I say, this, you know, 9/11 truth, it's the most censored topic everywhere. We're censored on the right, we're censored on the left, the so-called mainstream. But we're winning. We're winning. We're having so many successes. And to me, that's just so heartening, because this is a movement. This is a grassroots movement like none we've seen before, just up from nothing at all. Really no help from any kind of power except for the power that's innate in the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we going to a commercial right now?
Yeah, we're going to a break, and hopefully on the other side of this break, we will be joined by Chris C. from UK Indie Media, and we'll be right back after this break on Truth Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. We've been talking with Chris Burnett, of Indie Media On Air. He's the host of Indie Media On Air on Pacifica Radio's KPFK. He's a longtime indie media activist. And hopefully we're going to be joined by another indie media activist, Chris C., out of Sheffield, England. Maybe Chris is with us now.
Hi.
Hey, Chris, you there?
Oh, great. It's working.
Okay, cool. Welcome to the show. So now we've got Chris B. and Chris C.
Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad. Not bad.
So Chris, you're active on the Indie Media UK and Sheffield Indie Media.
Yeah, that's right. Indie Media UK has been going almost as long as the Seattle one. There was the first kind of live event was May Day 2000. That was before I was involved. I've been involved with Sheffield and UK Indie Media since 2003, around the time of the start of the Iraq War.
And Chris C., in his spare time, he's a moderator at the truthaction.org forum. So we've got a 9/11 truth activist. You've worked on getting 9/11 truth visible on the UK indie media as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole history there that's quite interesting. If you kind of go back, and I've done this, go back and look at the archives from the immediate aftermath of September the 11th, and there was quite a lot of stuff being posted, quite a lot of kind of pertinent questions being asked at the time. And there was also, you know, not in the months following it, there was kind of quite good articles that were tying in what happened in Genoa and stuff as well, and tying in kind of 9/11 with the overall war on terror, empire, and everything. And then, I mean, then for a number of years, UK indie media kind of did what New York indie media was doing, which is basically hiding a lot of coverage of 9/11, a lot of articles being reposted were just being hidden. And I was actually, when I was, you know, I was a part of that. I hid articles about 9/11. But what kind of got me questioning stuff again, because like the other Chris, after the planes hit, I wasn't expecting the buildings to collapse. I've got an architectural background. I've got studied architecture. I've got a degree in architecture. I worked in an architect's office for a number of years. And I didn't expect the buildings to collapse, and I just thought that was really strange at the time. But then I also didn't look into it at the time, and I just kind of ended up assuming that, you know, more or less the official story was what happened. And it was actually, again, it was Stephen Jones's stuff being reposted on UK Indie Media and being hidden. And me reading it, you know, as a hidden document, and beginning to think, well, there's something in this. And I looked at Building 7, spent quite a lot of time looking at that, read all the official stuff on it, and just came to the conclusion that it's just overwhelmingly obvious that it was a controlled demolition. And there's other stuff being hidden on indie media. There was a very good talk by Michelle Trisodowski of globalresearch.ca that was hidden, that kind of put the whole geopolitical context of the war on terror. And, you know, I kind of watched a lot of videos, looked at a lot of stuff, and we talked about it in the local indie media collective. We ended up doing a big screening of about 5 Sundays in a row of films about September the 11th, getting on for a couple of years ago now. And the situation now in the UK is that some kind of collectives are quite on board for kind of 9/11 truth within the UK, and others aren't. And there's people in UK indie media that take the kind of Chomsky view of what happened. So there's not a consensus on the issue, and it's never been kind of formally discussed at a network level. But we have kind of ended up with a kind of ad hoc policy from how moderation discussions have gone on the lists, whereby reports about protests stay up and get promoted if it's people reporting on a UK protest around 9/11, and the decent kind of coverage stays reposted stuff stays up. People like Captain May get hidden, and the kind of crazy no planes kind of totally off the wall stuff that gets hidden as
spam.
Yeah, and disinformation, and it has a useful role. It enables the mainstream, the corporate media, as well as left activists, to kind of dismiss the whole of 9/11 truth on the basis that, look, you must believe in lizards, you must believe in the Illuminati, you must think Alex Jones is great, you must think that there were no planes or there were holograms and all of that stuff. Just
or like Noam Chomsky says, even if it was an inside job, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I think the point that was mentioned earlier about the soldiers is crucial. I mean, the people I think it would probably matter to most is the people who are on the front line getting shot at and killing lots of people.
Well, I've heard a lot of reports from military in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places that, it really sounds like a large percentage of people in the military who are being sent out to fight this global war on terror know what's up. A surprisingly large percentage. I heard that they're calling it the empty cause.
That's interesting. Yeah, good. Well, the more the better. And I think the key thing about it as well, I think, is it does kind of, it's a way of seeing the whole empire as kind of just seeing it nakedly for what it is, which is a kind of global system of exploitation. And essentially what's going on in the Middle East is a resource grab. It's they're after the oil, and they couldn't justify fighting a war on the basis of the oil, so they had to kind of come up with the Cold War was over, they had to create a new external enemy for the empire in order to justify the kind of imperial rampages across the planet, which are killing millions.
Yeah, this is Chris Burnett here. I just want to reemphasize that point. 9/11 truth matters. Of course it matters. I mean, it matters to the people who are, been lied to, who are forced to put their bodies on the line. It matters to the families who lost people. It matters to every single one of us when we lose, when we have the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the loss of habeas corpus, torture, the homegrown terrorism proposed bill. Yeah, it matters. It matters to every single one of us. And it is not conspiracy theory. That's a misnomer. It matters because it's an event that has a profound transformation and allowed the state, the United States government, and other to expand this empire and invade a country and potentially displace millions of people and kill almost 1 million.
We'll be right back.
Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
All right, we're back on Truth Revolution Radio, the official broadcast of truthaction.org. And it's our indie media special. We've been talking with two indie media activists, Chris Burnett. He's a longtime indie media activist since the inception of the Indie Media Network. The World Trade Organization protests in Seattle in 1999. He's also the host of Indie Media On Air on Pacifica's KFPK out of Los Angeles. And we've been joined by Chris C., an indie media activist out of the UK, coming to us live from Sheffield. Welcome back, guys.
Hi.
Hey. So, 9/11 truth does matter to people who've had their neighborhoods blown up in Afghanistan, in Iraq. 9/11 truth does matter to the people who lost their loved ones on that day and never received any kind of proper investigation. This isn't conspiracy theory we're talking about. This is a crime of great magnitude, a crime that never had a proper investigation, a crime that became the foundational cornerstone of a global war on terror, so-called, a war that's been threatened to not end in our lifetimes. And again, I will say that we will not see the end of the global war on terror until the truth of 9/11 is exposed. And we're talking to these two indie media activists. I really want to encourage all the 9/11 truth activists listening to this broadcast to please, please make use of and get involved with your local indie media. And you can find your local indie media by going to indymedia.org. That's IndyMedia.org. And that's the global site. And on the side of the page, you can find your local indie media. And I really want to encourage all the 9/11 truth activists to post your actions on your local indie media. Post it on an indie media on the other side of the world. We need to show all these other activists what we're doing in the 9/11 truth movement, because the 9/11 truth movement is such a diverse and dedicated movement. It's made up of people of all walks of life from every part of the political spectrum. And we're very dedicated. We're not stopping until we get justice. And indie media is a tool that you should be using. And I really think we were talking before about the different, you know, each indie media, each local indie media is different. It's run by different people. Collectively, they all have different dispositions, different protocols, different standards. And, you know, we were talking about some of the ones that have been resistant or even hostile to the topic of 9/11 truth. And as I was saying earlier, I really think that it's our actions. It's the actions that we've been taking that are going to make the difference in breaking through. And I really think that in a lot of places you will find that resistance that was there before has diminished, if not completely disappeared. But you start posting your actions and showing people what we're doing, and I think you'll find, people will respect that, if not agree. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's the key thing for people to do, post reports of your own protests, photos, text, audio, video. You know, that's the key thing. And also, if you want to also in that, you know, point to kind of good sites like, you know, 911truth.org and the disinformation free ones, and do that as well. But the key thing is report the protests, and especially for the 15th coming up, fifth anniversary of the Iraq, start of the Iraq war. You know, that's, I think that those protests, and also reports on other people on the protest. You know, it's make your own media, it's DIY media. And a lot of truth activists are doing this already, but not posting it to their local IMC sites.
And just to be fair, I think it's important to point out that a lot of IMCs have been open to these discussions and have allowed posts to proceed regarding 9/11. I know there has been a few that haven't. But, you know, we're talking, you know, a very diverse community of activists. There's roughly 150 IMCs around the world, and some have been, you know, a little hostile a few years ago, but I think that's changed a lot. And I do think that there's plenty of IMCs especially now, especially because of the work of the 9/11 Truth Movement, that are open to this discussion.
That's right. I mean, I think it's quite interesting to note the contrast between the broader left and indie media. I mean, this is the situation in the UK anyway. There's not many left-wing news sites that do have any kind of 9/11 coverage. None of the kind of the organised left groups will really touch the issue. And indie media has actually been different in that respect, in as much as it has, you know, it has had 9/11 truth stuff up there, which is, you know, it was because of indie coverage on indie media of September 11th that, you know, it changed my view of what happened.
Yeah. And Portland for me had a lot to do with just keeping the question in my mind, and keeping it alive and keeping it, that, you know, present, which is important.
Yeah, definitely. They were actually vilified at the time. When I remember there's that kind of famous article that someone from Portland wrote, where they're kind of questioning why isn't the indie media network taking up the issue of 9/11 truth? And there was actually kind of, this was before my time, but there was quite a kind of global issue over that. You know, when that was raised.
Yeah.
So one thing that often gets thrown at kind of truth activists by people involved with indie media and on the left who haven't looked at the evidence, because that's what it usually comes down to, and won't look at the evidence, and I think that's the same situation with people like Chomsky. It's, you know, he just won't look at the evidence. But one of the things that's often thrown at the kind of truth activists is, well, what about the likes of Alex Jones, the, you know, people that have actually, you know, got kind of right-wing views in terms of issues like borders, climate change, capitalism as a whole. I mean, generally within...
And I think immigration, but...
Immigration, yeah. I mean, in UK indie media and indie media across Europe have had quite a lot of coverage of the kind of No Borders movement in Europe, which is a kind of grassroots autonomous campaign for there to be no borders and for everyone to be allowed to kind of go and live where they like in the world. And, you know, that's there's quite a contrast between that and, say, you know, people like Alex Jones wanting to see more US troops on the borders and pull them out of Iraq type thing, in terms of stop people coming in from Mexico, you know.
Well, that's a real interesting facet of the truth movement, is just because this isn't, you know, it's not a movement that's based out of the left or the right or any particular political disposition. So you've got people really from the full political spectrum involved together, and it's really kind of a unique thing. I haven't seen it before in my lifetime.
That's something I've been saying for a long time, is that you know, from an organizer's position, 9/11 is a windfall, in the sense that, you know what, it's transcended a lot of political movements, a lot of political ideas, and there is space for people to be persuaded, you know, into, you know, understanding a critique of state power, for example, from my perspective. Understanding a critique of centralized power system, the economic system, etc. But when we begin to say, look, this people who are in positions of power pulled off 9/11 and lied to us about it and use it for their advantage, you know, then I'm going to have common ground with people who I might disagree with otherwise. And I think that's important.
It is important, and it's a beautiful thing, and it can be very tricky to deal with. It can be unsettling at times to have people from such diverse backgrounds working together, but I think we really have to use that and let that be a positive and find a positive way through this. We'll be right back.
Truth Revolution Radio, broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. And today we've been talking with two longtime indie media activists, Chris Burnett out of Los Angeles and Chris C. out of Sheffield, England.
Hi.
I'm encouraging all the 9/11 truth activists to please make use of your local indie media. Get involved. Post your actions on your local indie media sites. Get involved with your local indie media. It's a resource. We've got over 150 indie medias around the world. You can go to indiemedia.org to the global, the international main indie media site and find your local indie media. In that last break, we're talking about a really, right before this past break, we were talking about a very interesting subject, just about how the movement for 9/11 truth and justice is such a broad based movement, is such a diverse movement, and that can be really tricky because, you know, you've got, you know, you've got all kinds of activists, people who traditionally, you know, they're associated with the left, people who are associated with the right, people from all across the board. And so, you know, we've got people who really connect and are united on this issue, and that's a really good thing. And then we've got all these other issues that we might not agree on anything else. And it's tricky, you know, it's a very interesting situation, and that factor could be used to make things really difficult for us to progress, or we could work with that and make this, because I think it is a really positive thing to have so many people from so many different backgrounds coming together. It's a lot to work with, but Chris Burnett, I really like what you said right there at the end of the last segment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the point is that in order to move us beyond a place where government, any government, can bomb its citizens and or in partake in this kind of terrorism on people, that whoever we are, we need to come together and challenge that. We need to be able to come together and expose people to the fact that centralized power systems such as governments and corporations are capable of doing these types of things. People need to wake up and challenge that kind of ability for that kind of structure to even exist, and we need to find alternatives to it. You know, there's a lot of people who've been wanting to do, you know, there's a lot of ideas out there, and we need to find a way through this. But at the end of the day, no matter who's in power with an economic system like this, the people who own this country are going to be the ones who run it. And we need to challenge the fundamental equations here. And however that happens, I'm more than happy to work with anybody who wants to prevent this kind of thing from happening again.
Same here.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key things that does unite the 9/11 truth movement is its opposition to imperialism and empire. And I think that's the thing that kind of keys in with you know, things like indie media and the anti-war movement, and I think that's the thing that we can kind of all agree on, is that we want to see the end of the empire. We don't want a world in which countries are just being destroyed and millions of people are being killed over resources. And and the other issues, you know, that we're not all going to see eye to eye on, you know, are things like, you know, peak oil, climate change, things like this, other issues that, you know, do get a lot of coverage on the indie media network. But imperialism, I think, is the kind of the key thing that does unite us here.
Yeah, it's a key thing, and it's been going on for how long now?
Centuries.
Yeah, centuries.
Well, more.
At least, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing about 9/11, and, you know, and I mean, that's why I'm focused on this, because I know. I mean, first of all, I'm focused on this because I can't stand living with a lie. And this is a lie that has pervaded all of society all around the globe. We see, you know, it's not just the U.S. government. Obviously, it's, you know, the British government, the Australian government, the Swedish government. You know, governments all around the world are participating in this lie in order to, you know, to go forward with this this global war on terror. And it's really, you know, it's just the latest manifestation of this imperialism that's been going on for ages and ages. And the truth about this event, that this is all based on, the truth of this, the truth of 9/11, cuts right to the heart of empire.
And I just wanted to interject, and what you just said is really important, because it is cut to the heart of the empire. And you know what? 9/11 truth, now the data is so dispersed now, there's so many sources out there that we can read about, and it doesn't take much to convince somebody if they sit down and look at the data. This is an easy one. I mean, really now, with the forensic evidence and the analysis, we have the ability to go, look, spend some time on this.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I mean, you know, if you've got an open mind, you can pick it up in about 5 minutes. Of course, it's definitely worthy of much more time. But, you know, if you're not already familiar with this, listeners who might not be familiar with this, check out a movie like 9/11 Press for Truth that 100% documents the cover-up and the pains that the family members had to take just to get what turned out to be a whitewash investigation, but they had to fight for over a year to get anything. Or check out, you know, 9/11 Mysteries. Check out Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth at ae911truth.org. There's just so many resources available to people, and it's kind of like all you have to do is want to know, to have a curiosity, and to not be, you know, sheep-herded, basically, along with, you know, at this point, I would have to call it, you know, it's kind of like a, I don't know, in a way, it's a sort of like a brand of political correctness, you know, or a social taboo in a way. And that's, you know, really what we've been up against in the 9/11 truth movement. And that's what the 9/11 truth activists around the world have done such a good job of, is really just smashing this social taboo. And that's the only way that you can put it, when so many people, when, you know, like a majority of people know what's up, or at least have suspicions about this story, that, and then people are afraid to talk about it. You know, that's just, that doesn't add up. It was just this enforced taboo. And we've really, we've smashed it. We've forced the issue. You know, Bill Clinton can't go anywhere in this country, hardly, without being confronted by 9/11 truth activists. And I'm really glad about that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
As he's out there shilling for his wife, we'll probably have to be dealing with her. So I'm glad to be seeing a Clinton repeatedly confronted with 9/11 truth. Chris C., are you still with us?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one thing I was just thinking about is that in the corporate media in the UK, I mean, there's not all kind of a day or a week goes past when 9/11 doesn't kind of crop up. It's used, and it's not only in kind of in the news to justify the latest imperial wars, but it's also in a cultural sense. And you'll get on you know, people will talk about the post 9/11 world and the all the attacks on privacy and all the police state stuff, and it's being used all the time to kind of justify what's going on in the world. And and there still is a media blackout, you know, in places like the UK. You know, we're not there hasn't yet been that breakthrough, even though there are more and more, as you're saying, there are more and more people at the kind of grassroots level that are questioning what happened.
Yeah, we've got a blackout across the board, and this is, you know, people will be like, oh, well, it's 6.5 years, get over it already, and then you turn on the TV, and it's like, oh, well, all this, you know, based on the terrorism threat, based on 9/11, it's going on, and as long as long as this global war on terror is happening, well, then it's going to be our job to push for 9/11 truth. All right, we're here at the end of the show. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Cheers. It's been good to be on.
Chris Burnett from Indie Media On Air on Pacifica's KPSK. Check out killradio.org. Christie from Indie Media Sheffield, Indie Media UK, 9/11 Truth Activist. Use your local indie media. Go to indiemedia.org. Find your local indie media and start using it. Be a part of it. And I want everyone to get to truthaction.org and take action for 9/11 Truth.